It's the full spectrum. It's the full spectrum. We've got news. Entertainment.
Entertainment.
Interviews.
Interviews.
And so much more. It's the full spectrum.
On today's show, we're talking politics from last night's debate and other aspects of this year's presidential election to what's happening right here in Mississippi. Let's begin by checking out the forecast with Weather Vision's Edward St. Pay.
KSU FM forecast update. For tonight, clear skies, cooler down to 58 degrees with northwesterly winds at 5. And for Wednesday, sunny, highs near 85, northwesterly winds at 5 through the afternoon. Wednesday night, clear, low, a little cooler yet, 57 with northwesterly winds at 5. And Thursday, sunny, high near 80, northerly winds at 10. Edward St. Pay, JSU FM weather.
Okay, the showdown last night between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump appears likely to set a record for the most watched presidential debate ever. A final viewership estimate from the Nielsen Company was not immediately available, but preliminary estimates from 11 of the networks that carried the debate totaled 81.4 million viewers. That's less than the 100 million predicted, but it would still topple a record that had stood for 36 years. Here to talk about this and other issues is Jackson State University Professor of Political Science, Dr. DeAndre Ori. What's up, man?
Hey, thank you for having me on the show.
Okay, your initial reaction to last night's debate?
Well, it was entertaining, and I think that everyone expected it to be entertaining. In fact, that's how we got to this point. Donald Trump is why everyone is actually so interested in politics nowadays. So love him or hate him, his whole reality, you know, persona, if you will, actually brings folk to the television, bring folks to begin talking about politics, whether it's good or bad. So I think that, again, love or hate him, he's bringing folk out to look at politics and to think about politics.
I was a little surprised, I have to tell you, DeAndre, because I thought he would be better prepared. I mean, you know, he held up for maybe half an hour and then he skidded off the track. And I really thought that because one of the things the pundits were saying before the debate was that he needed to appear presidential. And he did for the first part of the debate. And then all of a sudden it was like he was emotional. And it may not matter. I mean, you know, he's acted like this a lot. And I think certainly for the people who already support him, it doesn't matter. But this is going to come down at some point to people who are on the fence. How do you think they would react to his demeanor last night?
Well, everything was consistent. I mean, he's been, you know, the Donald Trump with not a whole lot of substance, a lot of sound bites. And even with the sound bites, they're not, you know, sound bites that sometimes even make sense. I think that, right. You know, Donald Trump is the Donald Trump that we've seen before. He can relate to the average person on the street. I think when George Bush ran once, someone said they'd vote for him because he looks like a guy that they could drink a beer with. Now, you know,
the beer test, the infamous beer test.
Right. So, I mean, the average person who is politically savvy or knowledgeable, sophisticated with respect to politics, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. But if you look at the average American, and particularly where we are in this country as it relates to, you know, the economy, even though it's gotten better, it still hadn't gotten better for a lot of folk. And so some folk can't relate to, you know, Hillary Clinton when she talks about policies and she goes in depth about policies. Her opening statement was one that was pretty substantive, and it actually was one that was, you know, policy driven. And it reminded me of Al Gore. When Al Gore ran, you mm-hmm. know, people said that he was too much of a technocrat, you know, similar to Jimmy Carter. So I don't think this thing is over at all.
No, it's really pulled closer in the last week or two. And nationally it's down to 2 points, which is within the margin of error, and then it varies from state to state, and he's ahead in some surprising states like Colorado, and he's close in Pennsylvania, which I still think she may give, but Ohio he's ahead, so it's a little bit surprising to me, but and we're only about a month out now.
Which goes back to the working class voters. I mean, these are states where you have these Rust Belt voters that, you know, may look at Hillary as an elitist, you know. So even with President Obama, when he ran, you know, he's a Harvard graduate. And, you know, you would hope that the American public would want a Harvard graduate to be the president of the United States. But being able to speak to some of these issues, and Donald doesn't speak to the issues. I mean, he hasn't provided any policies or any substance as it relates to some of the so-called policies that he's proposed. And he got pushed on that a little bit last night. And again, he didn't provide any additional information.
Right, but I think this, what's been growing, this anti-intellectualism that has been growing, is in full bloom now. And I think there's something, many people think there's something wrong with, you know, for example, today, a lot of the reviews I heard of her is like, well, at least his campaign was pushing that, oh yeah, you could tell she studied. You could tell. Like, well, guess what? I'm glad she studied the issues. But they're pushing that there's something wrong with being that prepared.
Yes, I mean, that's the culture. You hit it on the head, anti-intellectualism. I mean, when you look at folk opportunities to, you know, advance their studies in terms of college, you're seeing, you know, a decline in individuals getting college degrees. And so speaking directly to the public, when you're talking about unemployment issues, they don't hear some of these issues that don't resonate with them that, you know, we can hear, and we're elites. I'm an academic, you're a professional, and so folk on the ground, they don't hear these policy issues.
Or I think that's part of it, but part of it is they don't care. I think that, in my opinion, and we'll talk about this more in the next segment, I think it's also that a lot of people don't believe in the system anymore. You could say whatever you want. Even if they think you're smart, they don't believe that the system is going to change. It's not working, and it's not going to work.
Right. And so that's definitely the case in the black community with respect to African Americans being disillusioned. This whole notion that, you know, America's unfair, the legal system is unfair, and there's no hope. And so you have a lot of folk who are hopeless. And so that's why hope sold when Obama was running for president. You know,
right.
People got out to support him because they were hopeful.
Right. And you know, a lot of that hope is gone.
Yes.
Real quick, one of the big issues we're talking about, this especially issues important in the African-American community, but and that comes down to policing. This has turned into a big issue this year. Let's hear what Secretary Clinton said last night regarding the issue.
Everyone should be respected by the law, and everyone should respect the law. Right now, that's not the case in a lot of our neighborhoods.
And let's hear Donald Trump on the same issue.
We have to stop the violence. We have to bring back law and order. In a place like Chicago, where thousands of people have been killed, thousands over the last number of years. In fact, almost 4,000 have been killed since Barack Obama became president.
And we know, I'm amazed at this, because at the same time he's making an alleged or apparent outreach to the black community, he's talking about bringing back stop and frisk, which to me is anathema to the black community. I mean, it affected our community more than it did other communities.
Well, those comments were predictable by both candidates. I mean, Hillary has to reach out and attract black voters. She has to do as much as she can to mobilize people of color. Donald Trump cannot get the black vote. He knows that. And that's why his response was the conservative response that he gave. You go back to 1968, he used the exact same words that Richard Nixon used. In 1968, MLK was actually killed, and you had the uprising. Some people call them riots in Watts. Suburbanites in L.A. were, I mean, terrified. And so this was the opportunity that Nixon took advantage of and He used the law and order, which we now call the Southern strategy type of language or rhetoric that actually mobilizes white voters.
Yeah, but it came back to bite them because they can no longer control it. I mean, I think the Republicans walked the fence with that. They taunted, they gave them red meat, but they never followed through. You know, it was always wink, wink, and nod, nod. And now this year, they could not control that base. And racism has, in my lifetime, I can't tell. You know, it's we've always known it's present, but it really does seem to be, there's something different now. And maybe because of the changing culture, whites who are feeling disenfranchised are finding their own voice, too. So it's a very interesting time. And we're going to have to take a break, but we'll be right back.
The weathercasts on WJSU are underwritten by Ingalls Shipbuilding in Pascagoula, Mississippi. Ingalls is an equal opportunity employer, hiring electricians, machinists, ship fitters, pipe fitters, and pipe welders. Positions are union represented. Information at 888-935-1507 or the Ingalls website at huntingtoningalls.com/careers.
Full Moon Hacksaw, jazz and blues, rhythms a little or a lot at a time, a sight of shuffle and a shot of swing. We're not teaching history here, we're relating personal experiences. We believe jazz provides a fresh sound compared to music heard on other radio stations. Inspiration leading from one thing to another, it's been that way as long as we can remember. Full Moon Hacksaw, jazz and blues, Sundays 3 to 5 p.m. on WJSU Jackson, cool and current.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. We're talking with JSU Professor of Political Science Extraordinaire, Dr. DeAndre Ori. I want to get back to the law and order issue, but first, joining us on the phone, I hope, is Zakiya Summer, our buddy, who does many things. Zakiya, are you there?
I'm here.
And today, and the way reason I have Zakiya on the phone was National Voter Registration Day. And we know one of the big issues this year is going to be turnout. I think, you know, the Democrats are especially are worried this year about turning out voters and the black vote. So, Zakiya, tell me where you were today and how it went.
Yeah, so this is Zakiya Summers with the ACLU of Mississippi. Today, as you mentioned, Dwayne, was national or is National Voter Registration Day. It is Tuesday, September 27th. And as part of a partnership effort, we partnered with Hope Credit Union today for National Voter Registration Day. And we set up at four of their branches across the state. Today, I was at the Jackson Medical Mall branch, but we also had representatives at the University Boulevard branch nearby Jackson State University. We were also at the Moorhead branch up in the Delta, as well as the Biloxi branch. And we had volunteers in those facilities registering people to vote as they walked by or as they were going into the branch or going to their doctor's appointments, headed to lunch and so forth. We asked them, hey, are you registered to vote? And some folks said no, and so for those folks who were not registered to vote, we went ahead and registered them. So at my location, we had about 38 people that registered today.
And when's the deadline, Zakiya?
The deadline to register in order to vote for the general election is October 8th. I know here in Hinds County has two courthouses, one downtown Jackson and one in Raymond. And October 8th is a Saturday. Both of those courthouses will be open from 8 until noon. So you have up until October 8th, and you can go to the courthouse from 8 until noon to register to vote. You have to register 30 days in advance in order to participate in the general election.
Zakiya, thanks for that information.
Sure.
And I'm sure we'll have you back in the studio soon. You know that. Zakiya Summer with the ACLU of Mississippi.
Yeah, just want to mention one more thing. I encourage all of your listeners to go to our website. It's ACLU-MS.org. Scroll to the bottom of our homepage and click on the graphic that says Let People Vote. There you'll find plenty of resources. You'll find access to the voter registration form, access to the Secretary of State's new online voter information center, which is called Y'all Vote, information about your voting rights and the various forms of voter ID that will be accepted and more. So please log on to our website and get plugged in, get the information that you need so that you can exercise your right to vote.
All right. DeAndre, why do you think it's so hard to get especially young black voters motivated this year?
Well, Bernie Sanders did a great job of addressing a lot of issues that African Americans, as well as the youth at large, see in terms of, you know, the police violence, for example. That's an easy one to discuss. Originally, he wasn't on board, but as he learned more about it, you know, he actually began to discuss it more. He brought folk on board. I mean, he began to, you know, talk to folk from Black Lives Matter. And there were a lot of issues that just progressive issues that resonate with younger voters that he was, you know, willing to discuss. Hillary Clinton, again, she discusses a lot of issues that are policy driven. You start talking about trade issues. I mean, these are not salient issues that are in the community that, you know, young folk actually are in tune with. And so right now, you know, Trump, you know, anti-intellectualism is hard to respect someone, I can imagine, you know, amongst young voters when you have someone making some of the statements that he makes. So I think Bernie Sanders did a great job of mobilizing voters because they were given an opportunity to participate, and he actually asked them. Sometimes you just have to ask them to participate.
Right, and it's interesting because it really, the perception of the candidates, it didn't have anything to do with their age because he looks older than Hillary. He looks much older, whether he is much older, but he looks much older, and yet he related more because he seemed to be talking from a genuine place about those issues. And unfortunately for Hillary Clinton, part of the problem for her this year, in a change year when people, 70%, I believe, say they want the government's, you know, we're going in the wrong direction, they want to change, there is no more establishment candidate than her.
Yeah, and so with establishment candidates, you don't have an opportunity for youth to get involved. I mean, with the third-party candidate, although Bernie was not a third-party candidate, he was really, there were opportunities because the traditional Democrats were not in support of Bernie. And so that created a vacuum where young folk could actually get involved in the campaigns, and they were given leadership positions.
And when they and not only were they not in step, they were actually working against him. And when those emails came out that the Russian hackers got a hold of, it turned out the machine was working against him. And I think that really was perhaps more of a turnoff than the party thought. And maybe some of those people are not coming back.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. You know, right here in Mississippi when we had McDaniels and Cochran, although folk were not happy that the Republicans had joined forces with African-Americans to actually support Cochran, when the general election took place, they got out and voted for Cochran. The McDaniels folk were upset, but they're not going to not vote. They're going to support their candidate because they unify at the end.
I don't know. I think a lot. I it's hard for me to believe. I'm going to predict right on the air that the black voter turnout will be down this year. It will not be at the levels it was in 2012. I just don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible, but I don't think it's going to happen. And the question is how many people are going to turn out. She'll still get the lion's share of the black vote. It's just how many people are going to come out and vote. We've got to take one more break, and we'll be back with JSU Professor of Political Science, Dr. DeAndre Ori.
Hi, I'm pianist and composer Danny Green, and you are listening to the Many Colors of Jazz here on Cool and Current 88.5 FM, online at wjsu.org. Happy 40th anniversary, WJSU.
Experience a place where creativity is embraced and nurtured, a place where family and friends gather to share art and wonderful synergy jazz music. I'm Julie Lavender, host of Dream Farm Radio. Each week, I invite you to come into my family barn at Dream Farm and experience the inspiration and intimacy shared by talented, creative, independent musicians. And happy 40th anniversary, WJSU.
Catch Dream Farm Radio Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 11 a.m.
Welcome back to the Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. We're talking politics with JSU Professor of Political Science, Dr. DeAndre Ori. You've been doing some very interesting work here, Dr. Ori. And recently we had a guest on, Carlos Moore, the attorney, who one of the cases he was involved with was the case over the Confederate flag. And the Judge Carlton Reeves dismissed the case, saying that you couldn't prove harm. You know, it was a complicated ruling. He's appealing that case, and he's saying he may use some of the research that you did here that we have talked about on the air regarding Black folks' reaction to the flag. Tell us about that.
Excuse me. So I got involved in this research when I was at the University of Nebraska. They are like the chief architects in political science who create an intersection, if you will, of biology and politics. And so what we do is we look at how people physiologically respond when they see certain stimuli. And so in this particular case, what gained my interest was the killing of Oscar Grant. That's been years ago. And so I went, didn't do the research, came back. Years later, you got Mike Brown. It took me 6-7 months to get to that project, but it was still salient because Black people were continuing to get killed. And so what we do in the lab is we bring in subjects, and we're by far the only university that studies political science and biology, the intersection thereof, where we look at Black subjects. We can walk around Jackson State's campus, 8,000, 10,000 students. We can just say, hey, subject, subject, subject. So we get these subjects, we bring them into the lab, and they look at images. They see these images, we have them connected to electrodes and leads that are connected to electrocardiogram, they're connected to electrodermal activity. The electrodermal activity is just how much you sweat. And so it's beneath the surface, obviously. It's not like you're really profusely sweating, but it detects whether or not when you see something, does it create a negative response where your body protects you in a fight or flight situation? So we were doing police violence originally, and we're still doing that. And we wanted to see when they see, for example, a police officer slamming a young girl with a bathing suit to the ground, will someone physiologically respond? Will they sweat more? So after doing this, we thought about a few other projects, and one of them was the Confederate flag. I'm very passionate about the Confederate flag because it actually forced me to move from here back in 2001. I worked at the University of Mississippi. April 17, 2001, we had a flag vote, which was a referendum to change the flag.
Right.
We decided not to change the flag. So I wrote a number of pieces on the flag and white racial attitudes and old-fashioned racism. So this was something that I said, hey, I can resume my work on the flag. And so we began to get images of the Confederate flag and to see whether or not people who see this flag, does it physiologically, do they have a physiological response?
Right.
And if that response is negative, then that suggests that there may be a second step, which it actually can possibly cause harm. And so if we were looking to actually see if we can get an injury or harm, when someone sees it, you know, it's traumatizing to them, it's race-based trauma, and then we can empirically analyze it. I think the problem with Attorney Moore's approach was that he used the anecdote that it bothered him. We do a systematic analysis where it's scientifically driven, and we can analyze whether or not individuals are actually quote-unquote injured.
Well,
that's a second step.
He said on air here that he's going to try to add it. I guess I'm not sure the whole legal process, but he feels that he can add your research to the appeal. So I think that he knows that, well, he obviously knows now since the case was dismissed that basis that he talked about was not evidence enough for the court.
Yeah, you have to take your time on these issues that are that as controversial as they are. You have to put a team together. Right now, we've received about $400,000 in grants from the National Science Foundation, and we're actually bringing in a professor of surgery, and he's a political scientist. So this guy's a professor of surgery and a political scientist from Washington University. We have
in St. Louis?
Yeah.
My alma mater. Yeah.
There you go. He's one of the top scholars in the country. And so, you know, we're getting our feet wet in this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're addressing the issue, which is the Confederate flag, something that he's not addressing. And that next step is to how do you determine harm? So if we can see
But even more interesting is what if you do determine harm, what would become the new norm for what can and cannot be displayed? I mean, would you support if an image was, like, for example, would you forbid the flag, or is it just that it should not be, the state should not be sanctioning its use?
So this would be a legal argument, and I'm not a lawyer, but I'll take this stab at it. So, for example, I think it's the Department of Transportation. I think the Confederate flag or the Mississippi State flag and the United States flag fly in front of the Department of Transportation. Now, if someone comes into the Department of Transportation day in and day out, and it's someone's, so you get, you know, multiple people almost in a class action type approach who actually see the flag, it causes harm to them. But that harm piece has to be measured. Right now, we're not at that point to where we're measuring it. We're measuring the physiological response, and we can actually see whether or not it affects what they call the sympathetic nervous system, which is a negative response. The next step would be, I would imagine, okay, what did that response do to you? Mm-hmm. And so that's when we have to bring in our team of medical doctors, epidemiologists, you know, my colleague at Washington University who does the surgery and the political science. So this is something that, you know, you really have to take your time and almost a real incremental approach to make sure that you have all your I's dotted and T's crossed.
What else are you doing over there? You're doing a lot of reconfiguring, huh? Rebuilding.
Yeah, yes.
Over at the political science department.
Yeah, so we're trying to move over here to the East Center. We're going to get a state-of-the-art political science
You're going to be on the show
lab.
On that now.
So, you know, we're doing the physiological stuff. We're going to do a call center where we have a survey research lab. We're doing the GIS, Geographic Information System, where we can look at redistricting for the community with the surveys, quality of life surveys, so that we can, you know, ask folk, you know, what are some of the problems that they're facing here in Jackson, and we can share that with the city.
Wow. I had no idea you guys were going to move over here. That's big stuff. And this, I am really, how long, because we only have a few seconds left, how long does it take to go through this whole series of research? Because it's not quick.
No, it's a lot, man. I mean, one, you have to do the surveys that you can correlate. So you have a survey that you give to people. And you see, for example, what is their racial identity? Do they have a strong racial identity with African Americans? And then those who have a strong racial identity, are those individuals the ones that the flag impact physiologically the most? Or is it the folk who are disillusioned that, you know, there's no more hope? So you have to actually tease out through these surveys, and then you bring them in, they do the experiment. So it's quite a bit of a process. But, hey, we're at Jackson State, and we're trying to take the lead.
Well, I'll tell you this. Now that you're in this building, we will have you down here more often, seriously.
Hey, I look forward to it.
Great work. That's our show for today. Don't forget to catch Metro Morning Live with Rob J. tomorrow at 7 and 10 on JSU TV, Comcast Channel 14. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at 4 for more of the Full Spectrum here on FM 88.5 or online at WJSU.org. Up next, Latin Jazz with host Dale Morris.